Hello, and thank you for listening to the September 2019 update call for the Flaherty & Crumrine Investment Grade Preferred Income Fund. My name is Michelle Chiarbarelli, Vice President at Brompt Funds, and I'm joined today by Chad Conwell, Executive Vice President at Flaherty & Crumrine. Before we get into the update on the U.S. preferred market, I'd like to remind our listeners that this fund now has close to a 15-year track record and has generated a 5.9% per annum total return since its inception in 2004, 14% per annum over the last 10 years, and 20.9% year-to-date as of August 31st. In addition, the fund offers a high current distribution rate of 6.7% per annum and has paid a total of $16.95 per unit in cash distributions to investors. Chad, it's a pleasure to have you on the call today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
To start off, can you provide us with your view on the current economic environment in the U.S.?
Sure. It's from a very big picture perspective, we're going to sound like a broken record, which is we're still basically in the same fundamental pattern of lower growth that we've been in for a very long time. The U.S. economy did slow somewhat in the second quarter of 2019, but overall, it really does look fundamentally healthy. GDP has continued to average a pretty solid 2.5% growth rate in the first half of 2019. And that's really supported by consumer spending and wage growth, which are really the basic backbones of the U.S. economy. We think growth is going to continue at about the same pace for the remainder of this year, and it will be modestly lower in 2020. That being said, it could be worse if we don't achieve a trade agreement with China that is favorable sometime in the coming quarters. As the economic cycle matures, of course, job growth has predictably slowed as the pool of available workers has diminished. However, employment continues to expand more rapidly than the working age population. And as a result, wages should continue to accelerate gradually and support personal income growth, even as that employment growth slows. So we still have a Goldilocks situation, which means inflation pressures remain in check below the Federal Reserve's 2% target. And in fact, inflation really has yet to move meaningfully higher, despite somewhat impressive economic growth, some troubling tariffs that boosted import prices, and rising wages. Overall, our reasons for optimism on the economy haven't really changed. We think business investment should pick up again, particularly following a trade deal, which would boost labor productivity and help offset a slower pace of hiring and rising wages from a tightening labor market. Second, we think higher wages should support continued strength in personal income, even with slow job growth. Finally, financial conditions have eased considerably and are likely to ease further, which should support the economy over the next several years. On the other hand, downside risks have increased. Global economic growth has been weaker than expected so far in 2019, and although we do think there's going to be a deal eventually, certainly trade negotiations between the United States and China have backtracked, and their outcome remains highly uncertain. Those trade tariffs and really policy uncertainty on global trade broadly have chilled global trade. That's contributed to slower global growth, and it's prompted businesses to postpone or reduce investment. And while we're optimistic on things like immigration reform and its impact on the economy, a path to compromise remains elusive in the United States and may not be achieved before the next elections. More recently, other kind of global economic risks have flared up. And the attacks on, for example, the attacks on Saudi Arabian oil refineries increase those risks because it's really impossible to predict how that's going to play out.
Thank you, Chad. Can you comment on how the change in interest rates impacts the preferred market?
Well, on this question, it is a different story. So a year ago, I think we were concerned about rising interest rates, and certainly a lot's changed in that regard. Beginning in January of this year, the Federal Reserve turned away from its continued rate hike pattern towards a new patience on monetary policy during a period of higher economic uncertainty, largely driven by trade policy and other political uncertainty. Ultimately, that set the stage for the Fed cutting the Fed funds rate for the first time in more than a decade on July 31st by 25 basis points. And then by another 25 basis points on September 18th. As a result of this series of increasingly accommodative policy changes, the Fed's also stopped other forms of reducing its balance sheet. Financial conditions mostly eased, in 2019. We currently expect the Fed will rest for now, or at least pause momentarily. However, the risks lie mostly to the downside. They're not going to raise rates. If the U.S. and China do not reach a trade agreement by late 2019, the Fed could cut rates by an additional 25 basis points by the end of the year, and perhaps another 25 basis points early in next year in an effort to reinvigorate stalled business spending. More importantly, the backbone of the economy, if consumer spending turns soft, the Fed would certainly respond forcefully. We still think a trade deal is more likely than not by year in 2019. However, we're predicting politics. And we do see strength in consumer spending continuing, which should prompt somewhat higher intermediate and long-term treasury rates from current levels. But we also see downside risks that not only justify current treasury yields, but could push them even lower. On that longer end of the yield curve, the deepening trade dispute has led to a flight to quality, and U.S. treasuries were bid up materially over the last 2 months. That's lifted investment-grade fixed income assets along the way, including preferreds. By the end of August, the 30-year U.S. Treasury yield had declined to 196 from 253 the previous month. And that's from 3% earlier this year. The 10-year yield had declined to 150 from 202 the previous month. That's a very big move in a one-month time period. Both have increased somewhat since month's end, but they remain significantly lower than the levels just 3, 4, 5 months ago. In this environment, preferred saw only a modest price gains, as investors gravitated towards assets that were wholly within the investment-grade universe. Option-adjusted spreads have widened a little bit over the last month, but all in all have remained somewhat stable over the year as yields on preferred securities lag the Treasury rally. So how does that all mix up for a preferred portfolio? The total return picture year-to-date has been very positive, as you pointed out. But on a prospective basis, this combination of events, a 50 basis points decline in short-term rates and a somewhat larger move in long-term rates, but with some spread widening, it leaves preferred portfolios with somewhat of a mixed result on the income side. On the one hand, absolute yields are definitely lower, so reinvestment of income remains difficult as overall yields have come down. On the other hand, a story we haven't talked about in a very long time, the fund should expect to see lower leverage costs as a result of this shift in short-term rates. Of course, these factors impact all fixed income portfolios, and the net result impact is that FFI should continue to offer relatively attractive yields going forward.
Thank you, Chad. So how do credit fundamentals for preferred issuers look right now?
You know, this one's pretty easy. I think the overall economy, as we've said, remains the same healthy state it's been in for some time. And consequently, credit metrics at financial companies, which are the primary issuers of preferreds, whether they're insurance or banks, have generally been steady. For banks, overall bank loan delinquencies are unchanged compared to a year earlier, while overall loan charge-off rates rose slightly. Delinquency rates on real estate loans rose. On commercial and industrial loans, they rose a bit. On real estate loans, they fell a little bit. And they're really unchanged on the consumer side. Bank earnings have been strong, loan growth remains modest, and capital ratios are steady at very healthy levels. So U.S. banks in particular remain highly resilient and are well prepared for the next downturn. U.S. insurance companies continue to be very well managed and maintain resilient capital levels. And really the whole space of issuers of preferred securities remains very well positioned for this modestly slower economic growth that we do anticipate. So all in all, credit conditions remain very strong going forward.
Given everything you've touched on, what is your outlook for the preferred market?
Well, I mean, obviously, so far, it's going to be hard to beat what's happened so far. We've posted very strong returns in calendar 2019. On a 12-month basis, we look by and large like we've only modestly improved over where we were a year ago, which makes sense. The back part of last year was unnecessarily negative. This year it's been buoyed primarily by those declining treasury rates. Yields have gone down, prices have gone up, and somewhat narrowing credit spreads as investors sought yield in a lower rate environment. Overall, we think if U.S. economic growth can remain above 2%, not a high bar, and we do expect higher growth, higher treasury rates may present higher treasury rates may get, go higher. In other words, they're going to back off the lows they hit in recent months. And that's probably going to present a modest headwind to performance over the next year or two. However, as we said, credit conditions mostly remain supportive, especially for financial companies, and they definitely have room to narrow further. All in all, we do think preferreds continue to offer long-term investors that attractive combination of good credit quality, high income, and moderate interest rate risk.
Thank you for providing your update on the U.S. preferred market, Chad. To our listeners, if you would like to learn more about the Flaherty & Crum Ryan Investment Grade Preferred Income Fund, which trades on the TSX under the symbol FFI.UN, you can visit our website at bromptongroup.com or feel free to call us at 1-866-642-6001. Before we conclude, I'd like to note that many of the topics we discussed today do contain forward-looking statements. This information, by its nature, is subject to risks and uncertainties that may cause actual events or results to differ materially from such forward-looking statements. Further, I would like to reference today's date, September 20th, 2019, as some of our comments are time-sensitive. This concludes our call today. Thank you for listening.